The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, and Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, and Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the Holy Order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to behavior awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
You're welcome to help yourself to a back jack, which you'll find in the corner there. Use that to sit on during a group discussion if you'd like. The other thing, just a reminder, every Sunday morning you'll see a little recorder here in the middle of the room, and we record this group and we make it available to folks who are monthly donors. So we just like to remind folks of that. And the third thing, we have the swamp coolers on because summer has definitely hit. If you find it's difficult to hear, please just let us know. What would you like to look at this morning? Experience, I think, during meditation, and it's been my experience that I've had that come up for myself as well, is it's just a really interesting thing to watch, you know, to just really pay attention to what's going on with that, and notice when we're nodding off, and then notice when we see that we've nodded off, and we can come back. It's just, it's all good information. To just watch. And if anybody else has had any experience with that and they'd like to share it, please do. Krista.
If I hate it, it's there for sure.
If you hate it, it's there for sure?
Yeah. And if I don't, it doesn't matter if it's there or not.
It's all good if you... if there's no resistance there.
Yeah, because it's just what happens sometimes and it doesn't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. It's still a nice way to be for me. I mean, I like it. You know, I liked it better when I have, like, I'm really perky and alert and super easy to be present. That's, you know, that's the preferred.
That's the preferred state.
But the truth is, just stop and be, and if I'm sleepy or nodding or whatever, actually, well, as they say, it's all good.
I actually just say that, but come, you know, it's, the preferred state is kindness. I mean, that's what feels
there
good, no matter what.
The preferred state is kindness.
Yes.
And so then, since it's just, I can still be kind while I'm falling asleep. I can experience kindness.
Yes.
While I'm falling asleep.
Yes.
And that's just as kind. It's just as nice.
It's just that absolutely no difference between the alert and perky and the falling asleep, as long as it's all just held in acceptance. And
yeah. So that's nice, because I used to have to especially on retreats, I can't think of anything more than in the afternoon, you know, that first sit in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. That's just a, it's historically a hard time of day for me. To be perky.
To be perky.
It's not a hard time, it's just not a perky time of day. And then if you're sitting, you're supposed to be perky, and then you fall instantly asleep. You know, it's like this whole battle. For years, it was a battle. And now it's nice, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I fall asleep. I wear fall over anybody.
And that's the good thing about our sitting posture, is that if we start to fall forward, it just, we're immediately...
I wake up.
Brought back.
For a few seconds until I start standing.
Exactly.
It's kind of... Still this... without judgment, it's still a meditative state.
Yes. You know, it's the practice. We practice to be in that meditative state no matter what we're doing.
Yeah.
Whether it's walking around, falling asleep, you know, just to bring that mind of meditation to everything.
Yeah.
For me, I explore and look to see sometimes what's going on with it, pretty much, because it does happen for me. I think it happened a little bit this morning myself. I noticed that after I've eaten, sometimes it'll do it. The weather, you know. Starts getting warmer. It's that I relate to the afternoon, first sit of the afternoon, right after eating, and then it's warmer out. The other thing I've explored too is what's interesting is my hand posture. You know, if my hands are resting on my lap, far easier for me to fall asleep like that. Mm-hmm. If they're up like that, I don't have to go. I'll sometimes. Now, I don't know whether or not that's just a coincidence, but I just noticed that it has an effect. So I just look to see what my posture is doing. And so it's basically just an exploration. You know, I'm not trying to figure it out or anything like that. I just look to see, okay, what happens when I'm, you know, at this time of day.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's about the spirit of inquiry. You know, what happens when I'm more actively engaged and my hand posture is here and my body's really alert versus certain postures that sound like that are more conducive to slumber.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, especially if they involve the second pillow. Just playing around with what my body is doing. Mm-hmm. Nothing more I need to say about that. I agree with whatever I've heard so far. And it's just like, it's what we're doing. We're finding out what's going on in meditation.
Just becoming detectives and just, you know, watching it all and gathering information. Jen.
I've been looking at something and so there's the Dhammapada.
The Dhammapada reading that's,
supposedly it's the words of the Buddha. Mm-hmm. Some people say sort of the essential, you know, if you want to know the basic core teachings of the Buddha, that's one thing to read. But anyway, I was reminded of it, and there's this one section. Well, it's all so good. It's all so, so good. And I wish I could remember the exact phrasing, which I can't. And it's interesting that I can't, because I'm listening to it over and over and over, and it strikes me every time. And then 5 minutes in, I'm like, wait, what was the word again? So it's interesting. But it's this line about maybe someone else will be able to get it, but basically, seeking, going after, this is not it at all, but going after what we think we want. So, like, seeking for sort of the quote frivolous things in life.
The things that bring pleasure are the things that...
Yes, pleasure was in there.
Yes. The things that we would, yeah, frivolous.
Yeah. And I realized that that content can be anything.
Uh-huh.
And that a process that I've been looking at recently is how conditioned mind will split the attention, almost spread the attention in a way. So, oh, everything's great, and everything's amazing, and there's so many things I want to do, and like that, that it all becomes seeking what I want. Rather than, okay, so maybe to make it more concrete, like I was looking at this morning, like a wasp. Wow. I mean, that wasp, that's amazing. That wasp, and the dog, and the pond, and pretty soon it's like, okay, that's amazing. Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. Oh, okay. What thing do I want to look at? Oh, I could go over here. I could go over here. Which completely loses the process of, like, you could stay looking at the wasp all day. And you would get the same thing as racing logic. You get something much better. But you know, it's like this process of, oh, all these amazing things that I want to get. Which one should I get? And how should I spend the time getting them?
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of like that. Instead of complete, and that misses the point of any one thing is everything.
Again, it seems like an example of how conditioned mind will just use practice. I mean, it seems so good, like, oh yes, I'm seeing all the wonders in nature and all the wonderful things of life, and isn't it grand, and I'll go here and there, and it's the same kind of distracting process that keeps us from being completely present to what is without a conversation about it.
I'm just reminded again how really the whole deal in practice is learning to direct the attention.
Whole deal that training the mind.
Yes. Yeah. Training the mind, because in that process I'm describing of, you know, all over the place, conditioned mind is in charge of the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's quote good, you know, in that, if the only way it can get a foot in the door is to jump on board with, yeah, that's amazing, and that's amazing, and that's amazing. You know, that's fine. That works just as well to open that huge door of conditioned mind is now going to direct the attention wherever it feels like it.
It doesn't have to be anything that would be obviously creating suffering at the moment. You know, it wouldn't have to be a horrible, bad story that it's pulling our attention to. It could seem like, oh, just a wonderful story, something good to maybe, you know, pay attention to, but it's the same process that's going on where it is actually in charge of our attention, and
because once it is, once it's got the reins, oh, so easily, in like 1.5 steps, we can bring it down to such an ugly, suffering place.
It's just that place of kind of going to sleep, and it seems like, oh yeah, okay, now we're cruising, and then boom.
So just gratitude for the reminder of the very simple, profound practice of directing.
Would you like to say more about what that looks like for you?
Well, here's one thing I'm learning. It looks all kinds of ways.
Uh-huh.
Because if there is one thing conditioning would like to get its hands on, it's how to direct the attention.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, that's like the kingpin of how to control practice, because I know how to direct it.
I've got it now. Now I'm in control.
Yeah, truly. And at least for me, in the karma that I work with, I know how, and P.S., I'm not doing it right. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know what it is, and I'm not doing it, kind of thing. So, you know, sort of, I would say the short version is being aware of where the attention is. Yeah. And being, you know, feels like a kindness to me, to the human, at least for me, is to offer places to put the attention. Very, very simple, like breathing into the belly, you know, bringing the breath all the way down into the deep as I can into the body. Or, you know, every time I see the color green, you know, or just kind of a simple sort of an mantra, I love you, you know, thank you, it's all okay. Just something to put the attention on, essentially. And then it feels like kind of everything else takes care of itself from there. Because once the attention is here and directed, life is amazingly skillful at, you know, sort of giving us everything, really. We don't really need to do anything beyond that, I think.
Thank you for that. It's, as you say, it does seem like a real kindness to give the human something to focus the attention on, you know, and something simple. And so that as we practice that awareness of, you know, what's coming through, what voices are we hearing, to just have that place that we can come back to bring the attention back here, back to center, whether it's being directing it to the hara, the breath coming and going, whether, like you said, it's a simple mantra, color. Just have that to return to. Thank you.
I've been really appreciating being able to recognize conditioned thoughts. Yes. I've just been extra grateful.
Grateful.
Yeah, and also like seeing the pattern of them, like, oh, of course they're going to say that now, because this. And where, you know, for a long time it's so believable we can't recognize the pattern.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for a long time we believe it's us having those.
Right, and it's so believable, like, you know, my goodness, if I'm in town, I come to Moshe on Sunday morning, but I didn't have to live my time, I'm going to have cancer, blood pressure. So then the voices are right there, you know, this would be a great time to get some stuff done.
I think that's one of their favorite lines.
Right. This book. And like, and then I could go, you know, oh, of course it's going to say that. Because it's always going to say that right now. I mean, that's just one example. But I feel like I've been more and more able to hear what it's saying. Uh-huh. And in hearing it, then not that it's not having an effect, but not the same effect as just going with it.
It sounds like there's some distance to it. There's someone that's watching and actually sees that this is going on and that it's not you.
Right. And it's all going on super fast like that. Uh-huh. But it's I've just been grateful for it.
A lot of gratitude for the fruits of practice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of gratitude for the fruits of practice.
Saw some hands over here. Yeah, Karen.
Well, I've been working with an excerpt from the Dhammapada.
Uh-huh.
And getting to see so much because especially how the as it said that to dwell in. Well, the way the Dhammapada said it, dwell, and he did this to me, or he took this from me, or that, whatever. That's not the exact wording, but that's, you know.
He's angry at me. He stole from me.
You know, and to dwell in that, well, now I don't remember the other words, but if I interpreted that as it will only lead to suffering. It's like the oxen attached. It's, that's the only place that can ever go. It's just like going around with, one thing. And then to say the same thing, he did this to me, he's the same thing, same story or whatever, the same scenario, but not dwell in it. That person can be in a place of joy.
Yes.
Like a joy will follow that person like a shadow. So that's just sort of a given too, the one thing. And so I'm real clear on that, and I came to the monastery with one of those things, kind of like is described in that excerpt. So it's really clear the work is to not dwell on that, and then the scene that keep wanting to come up, and I imagine that's just going to take a little time of being here to be able to put it down, because I can see it in meditation, come up and I'm like, I really don't want to be doing this. This is not what I want to be doing. And having that safe place, that simple, safe place of the breath.
Yeah.
And what also keeps dropping in about it, because for me this will be, something to work with when I get home. And so I'm working with it in terms of how can I respond from life, and also it's what keeps coming in. And I think this is something from life, is doing no harm.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps dropping in. Mm-hmm. Whatever the response will be, it will definitely be from a place of doing no harm.
So the koan you're working with is how can I respond from life?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And already you're getting a little response from life that's saying, do no harm.
Yeah. And looking at that, we're kind of seeing the oneness, like there's this big thing,
mm-hmm.
but just seeing sort of connection, like the oxen with the cart, right? If there's any harm done to anyone else, it's also done to me.
Exactly.
There is no separation. It's just, I'm just kind of giving a progress report, I guess. wanting to just say it out loud so that I can keep going.
It sounds like you're seeing a lot since last evening, we looked at this in the workshop, and I think your point is really great, that the do no harm that came through includes both the person, the external and internal, to do no harm to this being as well as others. And I too know that place of, those thoughts that I just take us into that rut can become so obsessional.
Yes.
It's just so obsessional. It seems like this cart is laden with 25 tons of whatever, and it's being pulled forward. So, to every opportunity to, like you said, it just comes back to our early conversation. It's just a great opportunity to train and practice coming back. And every time we are successful in coming back to residing with the breath, or bringing the attention to some place that's present or here, and that it's just that, it's as we talk the wheel of karma, it's kind of rolling, and it's just that one little chink in that forward rolling of the wheel of karma.
In this environment, there's something to just, you know, a multitude of things, or having to pay attention, you know, wanting to pay attention to whatever I'm doing. So, anyway, it seems like a great opportunity for me, a perfect place to be with this.
And life in its wisdom has put Karen in this place to,
yeah,
to practice with it.
I'm starting to look at how conditioned mind affects conditioned body, and it's sort of a double entendre because physical strength is referred to as conditioning, body conditioning.
Oh, when they talk about strengthening, we say we're conditioning the body.
Yes.
And you're looking at that other type of condition, the conditioning that, you know, the mind endures or undergoes, and how that affects the physical body.
Yes. So what I'm starting to see are some of the aspects of conditioned mind. For instance, fear, like the fight, flight, freeze response, mm-hmm. The racing of the heart, but one of the ones is shallow breath. And so I'm noticing how the deep breathing into the hara, it just frees up a lot of space. And then also this morning, I realized that my tailbone wiggles when I do that. I never felt that before.
So I noticed that kind of deeper breathing, you can feel the movement in your spine all the way down,
yeah,
to the base of the spine into your tailbone.
Yes, and then so I'm working with some exercises I've been giving so that I can free my mind to free my body. So, for instance, I can visualize how the femur moves in the hip joint, and the many different planes that the leg can move and that the pelvis moves, and just being able to keep that in mind frees up the body to move in a way. It's like paying attention frees up the body. And then freeing up the body in that way just feels great. Just is a happy place to be.
Really bringing your awareness to the body and how it moves. And again, what occurs to me is it's a, again, that training the attention.
Yes.
And in this way, using it, the movement of the body to help train the attention. And put the attention on the movement that's happening with the body and how you're inquiring or exploring how that also affects the mind, it sounds like.
Yes, and the mind in this case is not just the brain. Mm-hmm. It's the hara, the second brain, or the brain in the belly, kind of. And then, so the movements of life in meditation, in walking meditation, just the breathing, I can pay attention in a much fuller space. It feels like it's starting to feel that. Mm-hmm.
With bringing a focus to your body, you're finding that you can breathe and that the breath is fuller and deeper.
Yes, and then the way the body moves is freer and deeper. Mm-hmm. With the focus of attention, sensing the tailbone is moving, sensing that the Yes, I can wipe my tail now.
You can wipe your tail.
And sensing what happens when the leg steps forward, the pelvis, it's just all connected. Yeah. It's very sweet.
Very sweet, Matt. And it sounds like, and you know, I'm reminded of something I heard a long time ago. I always think of this, is that everything responds to love.
Uh-huh.
You know, everything. And so even our physical bodies respond to love and caring, and that's what you're experiencing right now. Mm-hmm. It's bringing that kind of attention, loving attention to the body. And that, you know, it's all, as we practice and experience, it's all one. There's no separation between the body and the mind. So to begin and to bring some kindness to that, and some, again, you're doing some exploring and see how that also affects the mind and the whole being.
Yes, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Justin.
So one of the things we're doing for the retreat that started last night is we have
could you talk up just a little bit, Justin?
Yeah, one of the things we're doing that with the retreat that started last night is having a focus for the week. We talked about it as a koan, which is a puzzle, spiritual puzzle that can't be answered by or solved by industry mind. It can only be solved by insight that arises in the moment. I just want to say what my was.
Great.
So what popped in is, what do I want?
What do I want?
Because I regularly get confused about that.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting already having that. Because just having that question, everything that comes up is sort of just run by that question.
Yes.
And it's been really informative.
Uh-huh.
What popped in today, I mean, it wasn't planned, but what came up is simplicity is something that I want. It's something that I say I want regularly, but what I do often does not produce simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is so interesting how it all kind of weaves together. So I have this idea about what I want, it doesn't come from the heart, it comes from conditioned mind. I have lots of ideas about it. Yeah. One of them is, I want time for me.
Time for me, yes.
And what it does, it ends up, so I'll believe that, and it produces the exact opposite of what I really want in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, it causes me to be either late or darn near.
It ends up giving a lot of time to conditioned mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, well, this is time for me, and I want to go as long as possible. And so I'll wait till the last second before I do something. So a real typical experience will be, sometimes we have to come early and get breakfast ready. So I'll show up at the last moment that is in order to get the thing done. And it makes life very complicated. Because now I'm hurrying and I'm worried about things getting done and maybe things won't get done and then I'll have to deal with that or communicate about it or something. And it's really, really complicated. And so this morning I was like, you know what? I'm going to show up extra early. And so I came up and I was way early. Way early than I normally am. And it was fantastic. It was truly beautiful. You know, I mean, I'm just floating around in the kitchen. I go out to take a walk outside of the bathroom on the way. You know, I stop and look at the flowers. You know, and it just completely gives me the experience of a life that I'm looking for.
It gives you the experience. Exactly. It's time for you.
It's, I haven't seen that. That is a good point. Wow, that's really good. That's excellent, actually. It says that it's time for me, but it really isn't time for me. What the condition is doing. It's time for it.
Right.
And that seems obvious now. Of course it is. But, yeah. I love that. One thing I also enjoyed about that is, I love this teaching that we have going currently about it's possible to change consciousness through a change in behavior.
Yes.
Without that, I feel like I'm kind of I'm dead in the water, one of those expressions, a sitting duck. You know, I can't affect change. by thinking about it.
Yes.
Even by sort of understanding what's going on.
Yes.
It's like, I mean, I get it, but nothing happens.
Yes.
But then if I, like this morning with the breakfast, or another one is, yesterday I was doing a work project and ran out of time, didn't manage to finish the cleanup, and now there's some stuff lying around. That's really complicated. You know, every time I walk by that, I have to deal with the fact that that's there, not cleaned up, and you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like that cart being dragged around behind.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's the cart, and there's suffering following the cart. Yeah. And so I'm after a week, next time, chance that happens is after lunch, I'm going to clean all this stuff up. But you know, just having it's like a tangible way of dealing with this stuff. You know, I can see what it needs to happen on the behavioral level in order to kind of make the change in myself that I want to make concrete.
You can see what needs to happen on the behavioral level, did you see?
Yeah, it's like, I need to clean up that stuff. Mm-hmm. I need to get to the breakfast on time. Mm-hmm. You know, all these other things I'm working with, I need to do things thoroughly and completely. Because mm-hmm. I don't, it's very complicated, I can see. Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, as you're saying that, it's the simplicity in that is very obvious.
Exactly.
You know, it is. It's just putting the da-da-da-da back. That, how simple could it be?
Mm-hmm. And the result, in my experience, is very, very simple.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, to do a good job of things makes everything very simple, at least the best I can. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out that well.
Yes.
You know, the best I can. You know, to do the best I can to communicate well,
yes,
makes everything very much simpler than it would be otherwise.
Yes.
You know, like I clean up messes that I leave behind. Mm-hmm. Take care of my responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Do what I commit to. You know, stay in integrity with things that I say are important to me. You know, all these kinds of things, you know, conditioning is angling against those things constantly. Because, you know, it's weird because conditioning is using the content, the behaviors too, to keep its reality alive. And so if it can talk me out of doing what I know I need to do, then it can have the life that it wants, which is complicated and unhappy and with all time for it. And so then I don't get anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty exciting. So the con is, what do I want?
What do I really want?
What do I really want?
The other way I've been saying it is exactly the same thing, but it's kind of a different thing, is from different angles. How can I be fully present to the life I have?
How can I be fully present to the life that I have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is really the same thing, just a different way. Yeah, it's, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to have a way to actually make a change for myself.
Yes. Wow, it's just so helpful to have something like that poem that's just residing with us as we go through the day to run. It's like the filter through which we run our experience of the day through.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm sitting in meditation, there's this ideas about something I want coming in, and it's being run by, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that ain't it.
Yeah. And it's interesting. There is a knowing immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just when it's in that place of being unexamined and we're on automatic that takes us into that really complicated.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not looking at it. I'm not questioning it. Yeah. It's just coming through as something that's really obvious. But it's not. Yeah, it's like, I think you're right. It's helpful to have a reflection to kind of get us into what's going on.
That's great. Thank you. Yes,
my koan is how can I connect with my heart? Mm-hmm. It's one of my quotes. And what I've been looking at as I'm listening to everybody is I feel like I've come in here with this like giant wave of conditioning and a lot of suffering and a lot of stuff. But what I'm noticing is that there are actually a lot of moments when I am connected to my heart, even in all of that.
Yes.
And conditioning would not have me see that.
Exactly.
And I actually can see that, like, there's a story that, oh, you're gone, this is too hard. Forget it.
Exactly.
It's going to take you months. And it's interesting because, like, last night I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, all this stuff going on. And I took, I listened to the Dhammapada recording and I was like, okay, the thoughts shape my experience. So what are my thoughts right now? And I took the recorder and I just started saying what my thoughts were. And they were really nasty. And I hadn't even seen it. It was really hard to see, but I said them. And then it was kind of like, oh, it's all that's going on. Okay. And then there was just this sort of happiness there. And then later it just came all crashing back again. And then, like, here I was sitting in meditation, and then I was, you know, and just kind of sitting with that suffering. But then there was a moment where I was just breath, and it's just like happy and fine. And
yeah, that's been my experience as well. It's been really useful to work with a client to see that, what's actually, there's a lot that's going on that's in alignment with the heart, as you say. And that's that sleight of hand trick that would have us, you know, pull our attention to what's suffering and make us think that that's consuming 100% of our time.
Yeah.
And then that's who we are. And so it's helpful to have this kind of practice to see that, oh, indeed, that's a magic trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and someone was sharing earlier about the mind's conditioning sort of having its own idea of what directing the attention is. And it really does. Like, it's like, well, no, that's not directing the attention. This is directing the attention. Oh, but that doesn't work. Okay, well, you don't have to do that. And it's like sort of realizing and being in an open space of, okay, right, I actually know what directing attention is, and that's kind of what I'm looking at. Like, it's a lot of different things, and I'm open to kind of expanding my sense of what that is.
And for sure, it's going to have a lot to say about how you don't know how to do it, so that you can count on that.
Yeah.
So now you have the opportunity to be in an environment that will support that kind of inquiry and looking.
Yeah.
I had this great image too. You said you came in a wave of conditioning, and there was Nikki surfing in on this huge wave of conditioning, you know, coming from her heart. And, you know, got her here.
It did. I wasn't even supposed to be here. There's a whole lot. I'm supposed to be here. But it doesn't feel like I surfed it. It feels like I kind of drowned in. Yeah. But I can really see the, I have no idea what's going on, but it's kind of telling me what's going on, which is really.
It is. Good to question and watch and see what's authentic.
Yes, I'm really enjoying the fruits of practice, and a couple things that I'm really experiencing tangible things from resistance retreat, the end of it, and really that change of behavior that allows that change of consciousness. And
I just want to say something. I know Sherry once said it's the transcending resistance retreat.
Yes.
It's such an important word.
Yeah. That's a reminder. That's the journey, transcending the resistance. Exactly. That's what it feels like, the transcending it. And it's so tangible, as was talked about earlier, and the kindness that I'm experiencing is that my whole recording and listening practice has really, really changed. Really. This being really does respond to love, and I have this morning before schedule recording practice that I do. It's a kind of a listening first. I listen to the summary of the retreat, and then I listen to last night's practice successes, and then I record a portion of the book. There's, I think, 26 sections. I've been through it a couple times, so I record a section, and then I record the intention for the day. Mm-hmm. which is one of the practice exercises, and I just hit 20, so it must be 40 days out. And then I use that recording throughout the day, mm-hmm. and I respond to that love.
Talk about a practice of directing the attention.
Yes. Exactly. And it is truly, in my experience, of just allowing the being to be in control of the narrative, which the conditioning, or my experience, preach that the self-hate always controlled the story, always controlled the narrative, always controlled what I was experiencing. And that whole shift has been now, this mirror gets to control what information is coming in when I have all the opportunities for the earbuds. And even when the earbuds are out now, the narrative is placed where the attention was maybe previous on the recording, or maybe what's coming up in the recording. So
you'll find some of what you listen to on the recorder is kind of going through the mind where...
Yeah, exactly. You know, I put a practice reminder. I tend to write on my hand what that practice intention is for the day when I don't have the earbuds on. And it is such a kindness to take the reins, or like it was said earlier, to take the control of the narrative out of conditioning's hands. Because it's had it forever, until practice, or until just most recently. And even for me, the evolution of the recording practice is I have hundreds and hundreds of recordings, conditioning, observing, conditioning. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You know, that's just
right.
That's
just okay. Part of the journey.
That's the journey. Yeah. I didn't know that's the stage we're in. It talks very good about that. That's just the stage we're in. We need to see it. I've seen a lot of it now, and I don't need to really focus on that as much. You know, still have that awareness, and then there's that second stage, awareness, observing, conditioning. And then the transcending is the awareness, observing, awareness. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, I see it, okay, but I'm turning my attention away from it immediately. Don't need to have that all day. Don't need to be in that place.
And don't need to train the intention on conditioning. I've had a lot of experience with that.
Exactly.
And
I can see it really at the beginning of the sensation. I can catch it. So it's that training, that practice, the fruits of that. It reminds the Dhammapada towards the end there. It has a great line. I think it's said, and I'll really butcher the paraphrase, but I loved it because it said, the one that can recite many scriptures but does not practice remains in the bondage of suffering.
Right.
But the one that has maybe limited or few scriptures but practices diligently will experience the joy of scripture practice.
Back to simplicity, aren't we?
Yeah. Just having those really concrete, as talked about earlier, they're kind of loose. I used to have very loose practice commitments, a lot of leeway, a lot of gray areas, and it would come in and take them and take over practice. And now they're really, really specific, and they're very concrete. I know if I've been talked about them, or I know that I'm doing them, and that's very, very supportive. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what experience of life I want to have, mm-hmm. and it's so tangibly, clearly laid out.
I'm aware there's some folks in the room who probably have no idea what recording is.
Yeah, I thought that too.
We've talked about that. Maybe just a real quick description of what that is.
Yeah, it's a tool that has kind of evolved out of practice, kind of, and it's we have a little recorder and we talk into it, and we can talk about we aspire to come from a place of center or mentoring, and we just. Talk about what kind of whatever's going on in our practice, or what insights are coming in, what's kind of going on in the process of how we see how we're kind of ending our suffering, and we can record things that inspire us. Or I'm using a lot of that transcending existence book. I don't feel like that. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And the retreat is part of my basis of my recording right now. And then we're encouraged to listen to it as often as we can.
Right. Give us an opportunity to listen to something else besides
right.
Continued conditioned. Rant that goes on in the head.
Yeah. And the encouragement is to record and listen every day, daily. And I have had a daily practice for a long time, but I didn't have a morning practice. And I'm finding a morning recording is sort of the most helpful because mm-hmm. it sets the foundation for the day for me, mm-hmm. where I want to place my attention. Mm-hmm. And and you just see, I just find through recording and listening, I can experience the intelligence and wisdom like kind of pouring through me. And many times I have a walk and talk. I call it my walk and talk, and I put my recorder on every night when I walk back to my home, which is about 8 minutes. And I have no idea what I'm going to say.
Talk as you walk home.
I talk as I walk, and I have Heart Attack Hill. That's the first one. And there's a lot of breathing and hopping and popping, and then there's a second homeward bound hill, which I know I'm almost home. And every night, and then I listen to it right before I go to bed, and I just listen to it, and I always try to think about what practice successes were there, and what things dropped in, and what I'm grateful for. I always try to think for gratitude in that, and how life, my koan is, how does life present abundance, generosity, and gratitude in my experience. So that's my koan.
So it sounds like you have, yeah, and one of the ways for you, it has presented generosity and gratitude and abundance is through your recording and listening practice. It's been really,
it's amazing,
really fruitful.
Yeah, it's one of the tools that the guide is always constantly encouraging in the books and in the radio shows and in guidance, individual guidance. Recording and listening is really in the forefront of our practice. It's a really solid support tool to not have to listen to conditioned mind or self-hate or karma or whatever.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, Patty. So it's been a couple of years since I've been to the monastery, and I realized that conditioning had some story going on about how it's going to be so different. And
what a surprise.
Yeah. Like, oh, doors are going to be painted colors. You know, that sort of thing. And kind of a trepidation about that, like a little bit of fear about have things changed so much that I won't like it or I won't connect to it, you know? And I'm finding that the changes that I do see have brought up so much delight, just joy and delight, and it's like, you know, oh, these are things that I would have done. I could take a makeover. It's just so surprising, you know. And conditioning does that to me a lot. I think it just kind of dread of change. And I'd say 9 times out of 10 that dread is completely unwarranted.
Unwarranted. And not helpful in any way at all.
Right.
If it, you know, actually helped to prepare us for something or gave us some good, you know, information, it would be useful, but it doesn't.
And I have also seen lately that there are times when change will happen, and historically, you know, that'll be something that will scare me or I won't like it, and more and more I'm able to meet that change with just complete openness and even enthusiasm. Not because I think like it's going to change for the better or anything like that, just because life is changed.
Life is changed. That's what just arose for me. And to just be there and present to whatever life is offering in the next moment. How exciting. And often it has presents things way more interesting and exciting most of the time than anything that, you know, conditioned mind or that as an I we could even hope to imagine or conjure up.
Right. And I'm also aware of the duality that conditioning has, where, you know, on one hand it's like afraid of change and doesn't want anything to change, and on the other hand it's like always looking for the new next best thing, like I don't want to eat the same thing 2 days in a row kind of thing. So it's just like good to be aware that it'll play both sides.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm very grateful for the changes that have been made, and I'm also really grateful for what I just feel like the essence of the place hasn't changed. And I'm just experiencing a lot of emotion and a lot of delight and joy.
And yes, and following that back and that projection back and realizing that your essence has not changed. Just experiencing the joy of that and coming back to the monastery. I want to check back in. Is it Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that, did you get some useful feedback about meditation and your sleepiness?
Yeah, I mean, just to know that it happens to everyone at certain times, and to pay attention to it, be kind about it, kind to yourself about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the values of sitting together as sadhu, whether it's sleepiness in meditation or whatever it is, it's useful for all of us to see that, oh my gosh, I'm not alone, that we all have these similar experiences. And,
thank you.
We still have a little bit more time. Sit again.